Kathy Kunkel is joining us today. Jack Kunkel. All right, so let's get into the issues, the facts, the figures. It's got to be a trying time as a private company for you guys to be in the spotlight like this in such kind of a negative way.
That's kind of a good way to phrase it, because we've chosen typically to not be in the spotlight. We have been in business for about 75 years, and we've not been in the spotlight, which I'm sure that surprises a lot of people, the longevity of our service. And we're in the spotlight because we have to be in the spotlight based upon the issues that are presented here with need and just reaffirming our position with respect to the questions that are being asked.
You've been in business for 75 years.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I've been in the business for 43 years.
Wow. That is amazing that any business in upstate, if you can make it upstate New York, you can make it anywhere. Well, and that's catching on, because it's a tough environment to stay open, especially in 75 years.
Right.
It is.
And the travesty is that we've been in business, we've always worked with the city of Utica, and the city of Utica actually chose to try to put us out of business.
Okay, so let's get right into this. I've heard from everybody on this issue, from all the politicians on both sides of the fence, and that's what we're here for on Talk of the Town. We're here to provide everybody's point of view and not take any sides. So a couple questions came up yesterday.
I just mention one thing? I know that within the confines of the media, we like to use the term sides, but I want to emphasize that there are no sides here.
That's correct.
I think it's very critical to note that it's quite important. We're here for one reason and one reason only, and that's to ensure the quality of care for the residents. There are no sides. I cannot overemphasize that one statement.
Public safety, number one. Number one issue, everybody says it's a big public safety issue. Now, the finance meeting last night was, I say last night because noon is like nighttime for morning guys. They got into it. Let's give a brief background on a couple of the issues that are going on. The certificate of need.
Mm-hmm.
Describe the whole process that goes into issuing a certificate of need for an ambulance service.
Indulge me here, because I have some notes here that I'll just
go for
read
it.
To you.
It's all you.
In fact, I'm reading from notes that I actually presented to the Utica Common Council back in October of last year, because I felt that there was a lack of information and not quite understanding the essence of the CON or Certificate of Need. So I gave them a basic outline of the history of the process and who's involved in it. So I think that is worth mentioning again.
Absolutely,
for the
it
public.
Is, yeah.
Historically, the CON was a process that was born in 1974, and it was a federal mandate. And it required all 50 states to submit proposals and obtain approval from a state health planning agency before they commenced any new capital projects. This federal mandate was repealed in 1987, but 36 states continue with the process. New York State has always been very explicit with it. In fact, even in 1964, which predated the CON, they had statutes that were being utilized to determine whether or not new nursing homes were needed. But, Mark, the essential theory is objective analysis of a community need rather than economic self-interest. And their ideology with the CONs is to ensure adequate coverage, control costs, and avoid duplication of services. I think we see that everywhere. Just to give you an example, the ambulance service is not unique to the CON process. There's other entities such as burn centers, cardiac catheterization centers, open heart centers, long-term care, organ transplants, radiation, rehab, substance abuse. It goes on and on and on. So it's not, the CON is not a unique entity to strictly ambulance. Again, the objective, objectively analyze it, make sure that there's no economic self-interest involved, and most importantly, avoid duplication of services. That's the CON process. All of the details with respect to how it functions are well known, and the city of Utica knew all of that when they commenced their ambulance service. And I will go on record just so that your listeners can understand this. To go back to an earlier question that you posed to me, has it been difficult and to be put in the spotlight. I cannot tell you how difficult it was in January of 2005 to find out that the city of Utica had signed a resolution. We had absolutely no knowledge whatsoever. We had a 24-hour notice that the city of Utica was about to embark on a venture that I will really go on record and say had a mission to put us out of business, essentially.
We're joined by Kathy Kunkel from Kunkel Ambulance. So you think now, that they got into this the ambulance service business to put you out of business?
Well, they got into it for, and I'll quote this from one of the council members, to come up with a creative mechanism to enhance their revenue sourcing. Unfortunately, revenue is not an issue as far as the state board is concerned. They're concerned with the other elements that I just described to you. You can check all of the paperwork from the initial 2 years, and everything over and over and over resoundingly echoes the need for revenue for the city of Utica. In 2007, and I can take you on a timeline how this all transpired, but in 2007, after the initial 18 to 24 months of their running, where they were granted a transitional certification, that's part of the process. You're kind of given this presumption of need, and they allow you to function, but it does not preempt you from having to go through the process of going through the CON. And that is specific, and it's talked about in terms of public need, which is the demonstrated absence or reduced availability of the types of services that we're talking about that could not readily be remediated by an existing service. That is an actual definition for public need. Unfortunately, that was not in concert with their point, which was revenue recruitment. And that was evidenced in 07 when less than, I'd say 2 days before we were set to go for the public hearing, it was on a Good Friday at 5 o'clock, we were notified that the city then commenced the first of a long series of legal pursuits to circumvent the whole process. And essentially, it's important to understand, the viewers need to understand this, that the city does not have a license, the city has not been certified, and the city has been functioning purely by virtue of legal stays, which have been granted by the courts throughout these variety of legal actions that they've taken over the course of time.
A lot of common council members and members of the city government have a big issue with how the certificate of need, the CON. I know we keep on referring to it as a CON, so we'll just clear up the certificate of need. I'm sure everybody knows that we've been talking about it for 2 weeks. They have a big issue on how the CON is issued, and the argument is that they're private businesses dictating whether or not they're going to have competition in the same area.
I'm not quite understanding, but the question, but maybe I'll clarify it by making statements and then you can help me out. The CON process is something that they knew about right from the beginning. They knew all of the essence of the CON and they agreed to it. So it wasn't a surprise. They understood the analysis that would be required of them by the state. It's done by the state board. Initially, we go through a series of evaluations done regionally, and then usually when the region provides its determination, that's kind of where it ends, but that wasn't the case with Utica. It had to go to the state. So the state has, in effect, provisions to protect the person who's seeking the CON to make certain that decisions have been correct, which is why, in fact, it went to the state level, or SEMSCO, the acronym that they use. They take exception with the CON, and all I can say is I can't understand that statement. The statement makes no sense whatsoever because they understand the essence of the CON. They understood the essence of the CON right from the beginning before they even signed the resolution for their service.
Did you have any discussions with the city before this all went down about any revenue sharing? Is that an option for...
There were no discussions. I want to bring you back to a statement I made a few moments ago, and that this whole resolution signing back in January was a total shock to us. We had a 24-hour notice. We found out about it. And when I asked to appear before the Common Council at the time, I was told, you'll have your 3 minutes. That's exactly what I was told. I will go on record and I will recant what I have said over and over and over, and that is Kunkel Ambulance Service has worked with the city for a number of years. Kunkel Ambulance desires only to work with the city. I have certified sent letters to this mayor, the current administration. Mr. Kunkel placed letters to him 2 years apart, actually. They started back in right after the initial decision was made, after the regional council voted it. And the administration made absolutely no attempt to even contact us or let us know that they received the letter. In October of last year, when the SEMSCO, the state board, reaffirmed that decision, we again were reaching out to the administration, telling them that we wanted to work with them, and there has been no response from the city of Utica. Instead, what I understand is these raucous galas that occur, I'm not sure what these financial meetings are all about, but what I've been told is that there were some serious accusations with regards to my company, and as I have required intervening status, I've never been the one to seek the litigation. I have only sought to have an intervening status because I feel that I am a concerned party and needed to present my side of the presentation to the state body to make sure that they understood that this is what we have, and we've demonstrated that we are definitely capable of not only meeting that need, but we've been doing it right along.
A big issue that came up yesterday at this meeting was the statement that you guys were going to have, there was a number varied on a couple of things, but we'll say 11 ambulances ready to go in the city of Utica to service the city of Utica. Are those ambulances dedicated to the city of Utica, or are they going to be responding to the outside areas?
They can be responding to the outside area, but let me go back to the system that was in place before Utica commenced its ambulance service. So it was a dynamic deployment. It's a system that is well utilized across the country, and that's when a first responder unit and then the ambulance simultaneously responds. At that time, with the population in the city of Utica, which was a bit higher than it is now, we had 8 ambulances. We have the same identical territory that we had. Mm-hmm. We now have 11 ambulances, including a bariatric vehicle, and we'll be putting our 12th rig on the road, I believe, in another day.
So those are, so we're clear, they're not.
They're dedicated to our service territory. And again, 8 functioned and provided the service that we were evaluated by both the regional and state board and found to be in perfect compliance, meeting the needs of all the citizenry. Now we have even more ambulances. We have 4 more. So I think that we're aptly qualified because none of the other numbers for us have changed.
Just to clear up everything, your primary territory, Utica, New Hartford, Yorkville, New York Mills, Marcy, Whitesboro, Deerfield, Frankfort Center Fire Protection District.
Okay, and that is our licensed territory. That's how the state of New York works. That doesn't mean to say that others may not have the same license. For example, New Hartford license is also held by Edwards
Ambulance, right.
So we're not responsible to be the exclusive agent for all of those areas, but we are for the city of Utica. So that's why I'm saying there's going to be no issue with regards to how we respond and how we're able to handle. In fact, I would have to go on record and say that it will be highly enhanced, actually.
Another argument was, well, they can't be doing that bad financially. They've expanded their fleet and they've added their fleet. I think they said 3 cars. You want to address that?
Well, I'm not sure what the whole aspect of their discussion of my revenue. First of all, I'm not a publicly traded company.
Right.
They,
yeah,
however, are the city of Utica and are obliged by virtue of their requirement to be stewards of the taxpayers to provide the taxpayers with the data regarding what it's costing. And I will tell you this, because budget sheets are a matter of public record, I have, with my experience of having done an EMS budget for 30 plus years, been able to go in there and see some serious, serious deficiencies. They are touting their gross revenues these are not actual incomes that come in. You gross bill and then you receive whatever is applicable. But if we want to get into finances, boy, can I dance that dance, because that's my area of expertise.
That's your milieu, right? That's what you do.
Absolutely. That is my area of expertise. The basic accounting tenet, Mark, is you cannot spend more than you make. And there is a difference, Mark, between a revenue stream, which is what the city of Utica has, and profit. So sorely needed is that revenue stream. And where does the revenue stream come from? That sophisticated mechanism called billing, whereby you send out the invoice and you have X amount of dollars coming in each and every month, which I'm certain that the city readily avails itself to manage itself. I am not the city budget coordinator. I am a budget coordinator for my company. That is my area of expertise, so I don't feel uncomfortable talking about it. But I will say this, in going over the budget sheets from 2005 to roughly 2009 is when I have some serious questions and issues. There are some serious faults, shall we say. Shunting of expenses, totally not listing expenses, understating expenses. I don't know of any business that doesn't count labor as a cost, but okay, even if you don't do that, if you debit out their costs for overtime, which are extravagant compared to pre-ambulance days when they were roughly about $292,000.
Well, that was a big issue last night. And if you look, looking at the budget, the line items, it goes up a significant amount throughout the number of years, and they attribute that to the replacement overtime, is what they call it, when they replace their people, and they're saying they're saving more money in the long run because they're not paying benefits.
I call it magic math. I can't understand that whole tenet that they're eliciting, because it makes no sense. The bottom line is that numbers do not lie. Ask any accountant. They will be fudged.
Right.
Okay, they can go on any side of the balance sheet, or they can be shunted into other areas. But again, I feel uncomfortable discussing this other than the fact that I've looked at it and kind of raised my brows, seeing some serious deficiencies. For example, there's nowhere in their statement are startup costs. Those somehow got buried, and they never got carried forward. You just don't do that in accounting. And then let's talk about what they're doing with their pricing. I mean,
the pricing is a big issue.
Seriously, a concern, I believe, when they're charging up, you know, sometimes twice as much
almost
than
double,
private
yeah.
sector ambulances. I mean, the cost of the service is absurd, frankly.
So do you think that somebody's being untruthful with the facts and figures on the budget numbers?
I absolutely do. There's no question in my mind that they are absolutely not providing accurate details. And, I mean, I can find it where they got costs of ambulance shunted over into the general fund area. I mean, if it's an ambulance cost, then obviously it should be listed as an ambulance cost. If there were startup costs, then those costs should have been carried forward in the big picture of it all. And frankly, if you look at it, you hear the argument, well, it's not a problem because it's overtime because they don't pay it at time and a half. The cost is the cost.
Right.
And when you jump from 292 to over a million, my question is, if this is such a revenue maker, why have the taxes gone up the way they have for the past few years? Hmm. Wouldn't you think that the converse would have been true?
We're speaking with Kathy Kunkel from Kunkel Ambulance.